There's been a further decline in the number of COVID infections, albeit at a slower rate than many would have hoped for. 687 new cases were reported yesterday, and a single death, which took place in January. Although, as you know, the number of deaths reported on Mondays always tends to be low. According to the 14-day figures, the highest instance of infection is in counties Offaly, Longford, Dublin and Limerick. So 1 year into the crisis, more details are emerging about how people are coping and about our ability to live restricted lives. Joining us on the line is Professor Pete Lunn, who's head of the Behavioural Research Unit at the Economic and Social Research Institute. Good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Rachel.
A year on, what does the research tell us about our attitudes towards the restrictions? Because I suppose they have lasted for far longer than many of us would have imagined a year ago.
Yes, so if we ask people how they're feeling, so if we ask them, for example, how frustrated they're feeling, how bored they're feeling, there's tracking research that's been doing this for some time, and we can see that that's steadily increased over a period of time. And if you ask a very straightforward question about how tiresome people are finding it to stick to the restrictions at the moment, on a 7-point scale, most people would give that a 5, a 6, or a 7. So clearly people are frustrated, they are bored, they are tired of the restrictions. But the crucial thing here is that just because we're feeling a particular way doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to drive our behaviour. And I think people have worried, in fact, going all the way back a year, right to a year ago, people were worried, would the public be able to stick with public health restrictions to fight this disease? And even back then, people were saying, well, maybe it was only a matter of a few weeks or a few months they'd be able to tolerate. But in fact, what we find is, if we ask people directly, what's more important, the burden of these restrictions or fighting the spread of the disease, they'll say it's preventing the spread of the disease that is more important. And as of now, all of the tracking research that we have showing whether people are sticking to the restrictions suggests that despite how they're feeling, they are sticking with it.
So we might feel tired or frustrated or lonely, but that doesn't necessarily influence our behaviour.
Exactly right. And it's precisely because, as far as we can see, people are making this trade-off in their own heads. They know that this is something that they need to endure in order that we can get the case numbers down and we can prevent the spread of the disease. So, as I said, when we ask people explicitly to make that trade-off, that's the way they make it. Now, of course, this isn't everybody. There's still a minority who are breaking the restrictions and are breaking the public health guidance. But all of our research would suggest that the overwhelming majority are still sticking with it and are doing it because they consciously are aware that this is something they've got to do to prevent the spread of the disease. So there's a real sense that if we're all going to do that, we can get these numbers further down.
How much out-and-out opposition is there to the continuation of restrictions?
Very, very little. I mean, depending exactly how you ask the question or how you phrase it, it's probably somewhere between 5 and 10% of people who sort of are taking what you might call a political stance that says this is not the right way to do this. I do not support this. And even some of those people are not necessarily breaking the restrictions, although they are clearly more likely to.
Looking at the figures, when people were asked about their behaviour, more than half of people, when the question was asked, hadn't met a single person outside of their household in the 48 hours before being contacted.
That's correct. So we have a new measure, the social activity measure that we're doing for the Department of the Taoiseach. And that measure, we ask people just in a very neutral, matter-of-fact manner what they've got up to over the last week, how many times they've left the house and where they've gone and who they've met up with and so on. I mean, obviously, it's entirely anonymous. We don't ask them the names of individuals. We just say, you know, how many people did you meet up with and in what context and so on. And we find that just over half the population haven't met anybody outside their household within the last 48 hours. That's correct. And then there's another quarter, maybe just over, who've met just kind of one or two people, you know, outside for a walk probably is the most likely thing. And then there's a kind of smaller group who are meeting more than three people over a 48-hour period. So we can see roughly what the distribution is. And what is particularly interesting about this is that the people who are meeting more, so the kind of one in five, roughly, who are meeting more than three people in a 48-hour period, they actually believe they're meeting fewer people than average. There's a systematic misperception. They think everybody else is more socially active than they are, even though they are actually at the high-risk end of the distribution. They're actually the people who are engaging in more risky behaviour and meeting up with more people.
Is it fair to say that we all have a tendency to, or many of us have a tendency to believe that other people are breaking the rules, but we're doing our best? The old Welsher, you know, we're hard pressed in this house to keep going, but the crowd down the street, oh, their behaviour's mad.
Yeah, actually, Rachel, it's really quite extreme. So sort of 97% of us think we're being more careful than average. Now, a moment's thought tells you that cannot possibly be true. OK, so, yeah, there is that. And part of it is just a sort of basic optimism. I mean, if you ask people a lot of questions like that, you can get those kind of answers. So, for example, about 90% of the population think they're safer drivers than average. OK, so when we compare ourselves with other people, we tend to be too optimistic. But this goes across not just how many people are meeting up with, how careful people are being. We can find right across the spectrum there if we ask people these questions. They think others are doing more than them. And the primary reason for this is probably because you can see it. The people who are staying at home and are not going out and meeting people and are being very careful and abiding by the restrictions, you don't see them because they're not out and about most of the time. They're at home and they only go out for essential purposes. So we tend to overestimate what other people are doing because it's more visible.
Isn't it important, though, that we understand that actually the entire country hasn't gone mad and isn't going mad on a daily basis? Because it does kind of give you more of an incentive to keep on plugging on yourself.
That's a very good point. So one of the things we know that people do is they benchmark their own behaviour by what they see others doing. We don't like to feel that we are the ones who are, as it were, extreme, or that we are the ones that are taking more risks than others. But if we don't realise that that's the case, then those kind of natural pulls on our behaviour, they might not work the way we'd want them to. So it's probably an important thing that the people who are actually meeting up with sort of, you know, 3, 4, 5 people over a 48-hour period, they need to realise they're at the high-risk end of things, and maybe that'll give them a little bit more pause for thought as we try, hopefully for the very last time, to try and really push these numbers back down. Because not only are they not necessarily benchmarking their behaviour against the correct norm around them because there's a misperception, but they also may not realise that they are the people who are at the higher-risk end. So as there are still hundreds of cases a day, it's those people who are most likely to be the cases, but they may not realise it because they may think other people are at more risk than them.
Pete Lunn, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Professor Pete Lunn there, head of the Behavioural Research Unit at the ESRI. It's 19 minutes now.